The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Are you ready to start living and creating your life from possibility, joy, and ease? What if every day could be a miraculous adventure? Welcome to Creating Beyond Reality Radio. Join us for a dynamic conversation of creation and possibility. Now, here is our host, creatress of magnitude, Heather Nichols.
Welcome, everybody, to Creating Beyond Reality Radio. This is Heather Nichols, and we are here this week with a very, very special guest. I'm so thrilled and excited to have Gary Douglas here with us this week. Hi, Gary.
Hi. Thanks for having me, Heather.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Gary is the creator, the founder of Access Consciousness. He's a worldwide speaker and author of so many books. I can't even count. Amazing books, and really has been such a gift in my life and in the world, creating a lot of change in a lot of people's lives. And we're going to talk today about a different reality with sex and relationships. There is a really cool class coming up in about a month called When Sex is Not Fun and Relationship is Fleeting, What Choices Do You Have? And I just want to know so much about even just the title of that class. It's just a really cool invitation to look at a different possibility. And the tools of Access and Gary have been such a gift for me in creating a really different relationship and a different reality with relationship, and just having different conversations about sex and relationship with people, getting out of judgment and doing something that actually works. And so I'm just really, really excited to see where we go today. So Gary, when sex is not fun and relationship is fleeting, what choices do we have? Let's start there.
It's called start over. The difficulty is most people think that they can fix something that isn't working.
Uh-huh.
Like when you have a relationship that is not going well. You know, it was like with one of my relationships, I was living with a constant state of judgment, a constant state of how wrong I was, and a constant state of, you know, I needed to change.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, where do you go when everything that comes at you is how you're wrong?
Yeah.
Are you the person that person needs to be with? Not from my point of view.
Yeah.
And I see people all the time who are involved. They're involved in different things with. They're involved in things with people, but the person they're with is constantly in a state of judgment of them.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lady who, you know, it's like her husband was not very sexual, not there with her for about 3 years. Then she got involved in Access, and then he started to get on the ball and started to get sexually excited, which is great, except by that time, after 3 years of being put down, told she was wrong and all that kind of stuff, she really wasn't interested anymore. And the thing is that we don't realize that we kill our relationships with the points of view we take.
Mm.
And that's the thing that, you know, it's like, so I could ask a question like, how many points of view are you taking that are killing the relationship you are trying to be making? And everything that is times a God's million, we just run on credit on.
Yes.
Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyonds. Because that's what I see people do all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, and then I thought it was cute because this lady, her husband decided that when she said, you know what, I want a divorce, he goes, you're in a cult. Well, that made her want to go back to him right away, didn't it?
Right. Probably not your best choice in that moment if you want to keep your wife.
Thanks, but I want us to get back together. I want everything to work. But he never asked, what would I have to change or be or do different for this, for you?
Yeah.
Because the reality is, it's like that's the only way you're ever going to do it. With my first wife, when I left her, she told everybody, every single solitary person she knew, that she had done everything she could to get back together with me. I said, yeah, except ask what she would have to change to make it work. Never asked that.
Yeah.
But I've discovered that most people who say they want to get things together never ask that question, like, what would I have to change to make this work for you? Because they always assume the other person needs to change to make it work for them. And that just that one point of view kills every relationship you have.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's amazing how common a conversation that is for people. You know, like, but if only you could do this different or be different, or thinking that they get it, like getting into a relationship that's like a fixer-upper, you know, that's always kind of hysterical.
Well, there used to be an old song called, you can't love the one you love the one you're with.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it was like, that was really about sex, but it was still a, you know, great point of view. The reality is, it's like, be with the one you're with. Don't try to be with somebody you want them to be.
Yeah.
And if you didn't look at it from, how can I make this person into what I need them to be, you looked at it, so what could I do better? Or what could I be better? Or what could make this work? And it's like with my relationships, as they diminished, I kept thinking, what can I change? What can I change? What can I do? What can I be? And it's like, and ultimately, when I finally decided this is not working, it was when when there was this space of realizing, wait a minute, it takes two to make a relationship, and it takes two to break a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, it's not just one or the other. It's like two to create or break anything. Why are we looking at how you did it wrong? And the thing about humanoids is they always assume they were wrong, which they're correct. They are innately wrong. Okay. So, you know, just to let you know, if you ever thought you were wrong, you are.
According to the whole rest of the world.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And so are your relationships and everybody. That's the whole world of
yes, exactly.
Just that's points of view that don't work, you know?
Yeah, and it's like, unfortunately, people are more interested in, you know, they're more interested in what they can get rather than what they can be. And it's like, you know, what can I be that would make this a better relationship? Not what can I get that would make this work? And it's like, and what do I get out of this relationship? I find it interesting because there are lots of people who decide they're going to have a relationship with somebody and they go, good, so I have to see what, you know, what's going to be good for me here, and then I can get, you know, and then I can go. And it's like, what? Why is that your point of view? You know, it's like you've got to look at it from the point of view of what's really happening here and what can I create that I'm not looking at.
Yeah. Well, and a conversation that's come up a lot recently, which is like so interestingly enough beyond this reality, is the conversation of fun and having, like, what if you could have a relationship that's fun? And that is so not a reality for a lot of people, and it's kind of amazing that it's not. It's like, so why would you be in a relationship if it wasn't fun? So
it doesn't really work that way.
So what is that like? What is, like, Well, just the insanity of.
Now, one of the things that was interesting is, you know, it's like, I was talking with somebody and I go, okay, so where do we go here? How do we do this? And you know, what's going to be next? What's going to be important? And, you know, and I'm saying to him, okay, so what is the purpose of this relationship? Well, when we have a relationship, he will give me this, he will give me this, he will give me this. What? Wait a minute. What am I missing here?
Yeah. So if that's somebody's point of view, I mean, and they're asking for a different possibility with relationships, what could they start to look at and ask and change?
Well, first thing is, make a list of all the things you'd like to have in a relationship and all the things you do not desire to have in a relationship. Because once you do that, then you begin to see, and then you can go, okay, so does this person, which of these qualities does this person have? Mm-hmm. Now, my first wife, I put down a list of all the things I wanted to have in somebody, and she was all of those things. Difficulty was I didn't put the things I didn't want to have, and she was all of those.
Oops. Choice creates awareness.
Yes. And if you're going to do any kind of relationship, you want to make sure that you are aware of what it is you desire and what it is that you require and what is it you're going to get.
Yeah, it's such a pragmatic point of view. I remember the very first foundation that I facilitated, and when I got to the section on relationships and we were talking about how it's a good relationship if they provide money in your life, if you have good sex, and if they let you do whatever you want. And I remember like getting to that and being still having my own points of view about it and being in a room full of people that had lots of points of view about it and going, so, you know, this is just like one way to look at this. And I just didn't get it until I got it. And it was like, wow, that's incredibly pragmatic. That's an incredibly pragmatic way to look at relationships, because what reason would you want to be in a relationship with somebody who tried to control you, or that, you know, where your money flow is diminished, or you weren't having good sex? And so it's so refreshing that like all the different ways that you and Access has invited me to look at this area in a really, really different way. And actually get what works, and you know, not the fantasy, but what actually works.
Well, the thing is that's what I had to get to, is the point where I could look at what's actually going to work here.
Yeah.
I looked around at all the people I knew who had things going on, and they had relationships, but the relationships weren't exactly working, and they weren't great. But they kept working at them. And I kept thinking, okay, so why are you working at this when this is not really working?
Yeah.
You know, what if there was a different choice?
Yeah. Yeah. And so...
different choice.
Yeah. Yeah, and so if somebody's listening to this and they're like, well, I would love to make a different choice, but my partner... You know.
Well, if you go, but my partner, but my partner, take your head out of their butt or out of yours and find out what's going on. Your partner's not the problem, and they're not the solution.
Yeah.
The problem, you are the solution.
Yeah.
You are the only one who can change what's going on.
Yeah.
And it's like a friend of mine years ago, this older lady, she said, I don't know why you young people think it's important to share your dirty laundry. I said, what do you mean? I said, you all seem to think that it's good to tell your partner your picadillos and all the things that you've done wrong? I said, it's not. And she goes, no, because if you do that, all you're doing is taking your dirty underwear and putting them on their head.
Well, that's fun.
And I went, oh, so that's not a night. And she said, and the reality is, no one can make you happy, and nobody can make you sad. Nobody can make you anything except you.
Yeah.
You're the only one who can do this. So it's like, if you want to be happy, then you have to look at what's going to make you happy and decide you're going to get it no matter what it looks like, no matter how it's going to work.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and that's really one of my favorite topics, which we can play with more after the break, but the elements of intimacy with you and having that in your own life and your own world and creating what it is that you would like to create, knowing that you can create it, and then you can have that with somebody else. That's
going after creating it.
Yeah.
And that's the difference.
Yeah. Cool. Well, we are at our first break, so we're going to take a quick pause and we will be back in a moment.
Change your world. Change your life. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Have you always wondered what it would be like to have more fun, ease, joy, and success in your business? What if your business could be more fresh, vibrant, and thriving every day? Heather Nichols' Generative Business Pods program is a 6-month business creation intensive of embodying question, choice, possibility, and contribution as the main elements for creating a dynamically different and wildly successful business. What if exponential growth in your business and income could come from being more of you? Find out more at heathernichols.com/businesspods.
If you think you've seen online TV before, let us surprise you.
VoiceAmerica.tv is online now.
The leader in live internet talk radio has done it again. Multiple channels, a state-of-the-art viewing experience, live and on-demand programs streaming 24 hours a day. It's exactly what you want, when you want it.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
From health and wellness to business, sports, and everything in between. Discover our new world. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv now and experience the future of online television.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
Become a member of VoiceAmerica.com. It's easy and best of all, it's free. Start out by going to our homepage or any of our channels and click register at the top. Once you've created an account and signed in, you can create your own custom library, opt into our newsletter, search by show, host, guest, or topic of interest, or browse millions of hours of content across all of our Voice America radio channels. Membership gets you more. Visit VoiceAmerica.com today to get started and tailor the listening experience to your taste.
Now you can take your favorite Voice America radio program with you anywhere. Sign up for our mobile app if you have an iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry. The Voice America Interactive Radio Player, powered by Aircast, gives you the freedom to listen to any of our programs anywhere, live, and on demand. No registration is required. Listen to your favorite Voice America hosts and discover new ones. Download the Voice America mobile app for iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry, powered by Aircast. Visit the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market. Follow the Voice America Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at Voice America TRN. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/VoiceAmericaTRN or follow along with us at Voice America TRN, the Voice America Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media. Can you keep up?
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are listening to Creating Beyond Reality with Heather Nichols. If you have a question or comment about our program, please send an email to heather@heathernichols.com. That's heather@heathernichols.com. Now, back to Creating Beyond Reality.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Creating Beyond Reality Radio, and this is Heather Nichols, and we're here this week with Gary Douglas talking about sex and relationships and what else is possible. So at the break, we were just starting to talk about intimacy, and intimacy is really different than, like, it doesn't actually have to be part of a relationship or part of sex, but it can be. Can you say more about that, Gary?
Well, it's more fun when it is.
Yeah.
But the thing is, that's whether you're doing sex for a purpose or for fun. And that's the thing I see a whole lot of people choosing, is they choose to have sex. Like, most women have sex in order to get relationship. And most men do relationship to get sex. Which doesn't work for either one of them.
Yeah.
You know? So what would it be like if you did it because you wanted to, because it was fun for you, and because you were looking for something greater? And the thing about intimacy, it's like one of the things that occurred. It's like at one point, Dane had gotten engaged, and he wanted to get together with this girl. He was going to marry her, and he went off to a 7-day program with me. And while we were gone, it's like, he had this real intimate connection. And intimacy is about vulnerability, allowance, gratitude. Yeah. What are the rest?
Honoring and trust.
Honoring, and trust. Sorry. And it's like, and I got these 5 definitions from this lady that I told you about, the lady who was in her 80s that lived with us. And she and her had been together for years. And I said, well, you know, did your husband ever cheat on you? And she says, I have no idea. And he would not have dishonored me by telling me. I went, what?
Wow.
He said, how would that be dishonoring of you if he didn't tell you? Wouldn't it be more honoring if he told you? No, because he would be having to have a reason. If he did it because it made him feel better about himself, then he should. Huh. And if he didn't do it for that, then he shouldn't be doing it in the first place. But, and she said this with the most loving, caring, you know, energy I've ever heard. My Bill would never have done that. From his point of view, his job was to take care of me. And he always did. I could always trust that my Bill would make sure I had gas in the car. My Bill would take out the garbage. My Bill would do this. My Bill would do that. And he could always trust that I would take care of him. Now, he never believed in what I believed in, because I was into metaphysics and I spent years studying all I could. And she had been to psychic healers and, you know, just about every church, cult, and religion on the planet. And he believed you lived once and then you died and you were dust in the grave. And so he, you know, it's like that was what he believed. So they had an agreement that when she would go out with his clients, she wasn't going to talk about her metaphysical points of view. Because she was there as his helpmate in his life and his business. Not somebody who believed different than him, but somebody who was there to help him. And so she never talked about her metaphysical experiences or anything like that when she went out with his friends and his workmates.
Mm.
And it's like, and I thought, I mean, the kindness in that.
Yeah.
You know, the honoring that she was giving him. I will not talk about what would embarrass you or make you feel less.
Yeah.
It's like, what a great gift to give somebody.
Yeah.
And that's that place of trust and honoring. And vulnerability is where you don't put up barriers to the person. You know, she said, my Bill and I had a rule. If I pursued something too long, he'd go, Mary, the complaint department is closed. Which meant that was not a subject we would ever discuss again.
Because I love it.
To come to agreement on it, so we would not discuss it. And we both knew that's the way it worked.
It's so, that's just so refreshing and pragmatic again, and just, and it is like, it's such a different energy than what so many people think of when they think of intimacy. Like, yes, in this reality, intimacy is you have to have the same points of view, you have to believe the same thing, you know, and it's like, intimacy, good luck.
Intimacy is, if I stick it in, you were intimate.
That too.
How most people see intimacy. If we put our body parts together, then we're being intimate.
Yeah, yeah.
I think intimacy is more into me see.
Hmm.
You know, and it's like, and people, if people really see the person in front of them. And that's the other thing with Mary's point of view, what she said to me, she said, yes, you have to be an allowance that the other person does not believe what you believe.
Yeah.
And have a point of view about it. It's got to be just your point of view. You got to realize, it's like, I can believe in one thing, he can believe in another, but that doesn't make us separate. That just makes us different.
Yeah.
And our differences are the things that can allow us to come together.
Hmm.
And our differences is what we use to create separation.
Hmm.
And I see people all the time who start looking at how they're different than the person they're with. Now they're, you know, that person is wrong somehow, which isn't nice.
Yeah. You know, that actually makes me think of, you did a brilliant Creative Edge call, created the Creative Edge of Consciousness, which is an amazing monthly call in Access Consciousness. well, we're recording this, it was last week, but on sameness and similarity and actually looking for similarities rather than differences. And it was such an amazing call for me. You had asked me if I had acknowledged the difference that I be, which was one of the questions that has changed so much in my world. And over years, just like playing with that question and looking at that question, and I've done radio shows about it. And then to have this conversation of similarity and to actually be really looking at what is similar here with me and this person, like whatever the relationship is, you know, it may not be a romantic relationship, but what is,
even if it's a friendship, if you look to have as similarities, you will have a closer relationship with that person.
Yeah.
Because it's like, if you look for differences, you're always looking for how you can separate and dismiss somebody.
Mm.
And it's like, how am I similar to this person? How is this person similar to me?
Yeah.
What are the choices could I have here that I'm not choosing?
Hmm. And those questions really, to me, they create a space of intimacy. Like they, like it really brings up that energy of those elements of intimacy, of allowance, gratitude, vulnerability, honoring, and trust. And sameness is really, from what I got from the call, was it's sort of more of what people try to do with relationship that doesn't really end up working.
Yeah. Well, it's like what I notice a lot of people. Well, we have the same point of view here.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we align and agree with each other.
Right.
So we can separate from everybody else who doesn't have the same view we do.
Yeah.
Rather than what point of view would I like to have here and what can be created if I was not looking for the differences and not looking for the sameness. When you look for sameness, you're looking for how you align and agree with the point of view. When you're looking for difference, you look for how you disagree and how you dismiss the point of view.
Yeah. If
similar is, okay, so how am I like this person? How is this person like me? And how does this person like things the way I like them, or do they?
Yeah.
Do they? What if they didn't like everything you liked?
Yeah.
Would it be that bad?
No. Well, and it's such a fantasy to think that you could find somebody that did. I mean, that's just good luck with that, you know.
You said it. It's a fantasy. And it's like, yeah. I watch people live in their fantasy world. And, you know, it's like, and one of the things I ask people to do is, so what insanity are you choosing to create the points of view about relationship are you choosing? Mm. Everything that is times a godzillion. Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyonds.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's rather amazing to me when you, and by insanity, I'm not saying you're completely insane, but you are. And saying that insanity is when we choose against what we know and we choose not to know what we can know. It's like we have to choose what we can know and what we do know, not what we think we should know, if we really want to create a different reality.
That's so cool. Well, and another thing that has been such a cool conversation for me is looking at what can I, like, if I have people in my life or I'm choosing to be in a relationship with somebody, can we create 10 times greater together than we would be able to on our own? Can you talk about that more?
Well, it's like, the thing is that it's like, if you ask, if I'm with this person, can I create 10 times more than I can without them? Because it's like, there are some people you can create with and create a lot of possibilities, a lot of changes, a lot of differences. And there's some people that no matter what you do, you'll never be able to create something with them that's going to work that way.
Yeah.
Why isn't it going to work that way? Because it isn't. Right or wrong, and it's not a good or bad, and it's not, you know, this is what you're supposed to
be. You're not meant to be.
It's not meant to be. I mean, I love it when people come to me and they say, I know we've had lots of lifetimes together. Yeah, this one isn't one of them.
Yeah. No, yeah, and what a cool space to function from with relationship and to choose from, you know, with who you have in your life.
It's like, one point is like, I looked around the room and I went, okay, so how many of these people have I known intimately and sexually in one lifetime or another? I went, holy shit, I've had sex with all of these people. How crazy wonderful is that? And do I want to have sex with them again? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah.
It's like when you realize that you could have sex with anyone, then it becomes, okay, so who would I like to have sex with and who would be fun to have sex with?
Yeah. Yeah. That's so cool. Making it a choice rather than a necessity.
Choice is always the best thing to have.
Yes, definitely. Let's see. There's so many. I asked a bunch of people for questions too. I was like, you guys can't call in, but because we're pre-recording. Oh gosh, there's so many. So we have just a couple minutes until our next break, but can we talk? Somebody had asked a question about talking to kids about sex. And that's been a big one in my world too, of just like my kids have, one of my children in particular has a huge curiosity about sex, and I was like, you know, pretty sure he was going to start having sex at age 10 or something. so what, like, there's just such a, what do you have to say about that, about talking to children about sex and what to,
first of all, when they say, you know, what about sex? You go, sex is something you have with somebody you care about and enjoy. And, you know, from that you can get children. 90% of the kids will never ask you another question.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, man. Is it too late to tell my kids that?
You know, and the thing is, what we try to do is we try to explain to them things they have no interest in. Well, yeah. Man's penis gets hard, and he sticks it in a woman's vagina.
Right.
Like, ooh, TMI.
Oh, I know.
TMI. That's not what they wanted to know.
I know. I remember having that conversation with my kids and they were like mortified.
Most of them become mortified and then they never want to talk about sex again. And,
I know.
You know, and they become anti-sexual in that process.
Uh-huh.
Huh. You know, and the other thing I did with mine is, well, tell me what you know about this.
Mm, that's cool. You know?
And it's like, when my son was 8 years old, I took he and his friends to the bowling alley for his birthday party. And on the way back, this one kid was saying, yeah, I've got a rubber and I've used it 10 times. And I almost fell off my chair.
Oh, that's hysterical.
And when I got home, I turned to my son. I said, son, reality is you can't use a condom more than once. So it's like, I don't think your friend knows what he's talking about, so I wouldn't listen to him to get good sexual information.
That's awesome.
If about sex, ask me. I'll tell you.
That is so cool.
That's gross.
I love that, though, to ask them what they know. Like, that's, and I love that question in general for anything. But, like, it's such an acknowledgement that they're an infinite being and not a, you know, 7-year-old or 12-year-old or whatever.
And they're not a stupid dweeb.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's that's very so sad funny. When people make their kids feel like they're stupid.
Yeah. I've done that a few times, and you've really helped me with that.
I'm glad.
I know.
You know, my point of view is no one is stupid. They're just uneducated. So what are you educated about? What you're not educated about?
Yeah.
If people would look at their kids and see them not as uneducated stupid heads, but as kids who know some things, and what do they know, and what can I help you with?
Yeah.
And if you always come from the point of view as, I will always try to help you, and you come from that point of view, it's amazing how quickly they then are willing to know more and be more in life. It's
great. I love that. That's, you know, really cool.
And your kids don't really want to know the intimate details of sticking it in and having it hard and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
They really don't want to know that. Why?
They will figure that out.
Because that's too much. But there will come a time when they want to know more stuff. And they will, you know, they and their friends will watch internet porn and do all that kind of stuff. But if you say to them, difficulty with watching porn is that people who do it usually do not do it from a place of the honoring of the other person and the joy of what that person is in their lives and with their bodies. What if you saw the joy of, what if you were willing to realize that there's a joy with a body that other people don't have, but you could have it, and then walk away?
Wow, that's so cool.
Come back 2 years later and ask you what that means.
That's awesome. I'm gonna write that down.
Your kids are at the age where you need to start using these tools.
Oh, my gosh. I know. Jaden, my youngest son, the other day said, oh, I know everything there is to know about sex. I'm like, okay.
Well, tell me about it, will you?
I know. Give me some info.
I loved it because my oldest daughter at one time came to her mother and says, I'm a lesbian. And she goes, oh, really? What's it like? She goes, what do you mean? What's it like eating pussy? Oh, Mom, that's disgusting. I've never done that.
That's awesome.
You know, and then it turned out she wasn't a lesbian. But, mm-hmm. You know, they love to, you know, frighten you. You know, it's like when a kid comes to you and says, I'm gay. So what's it like sucking a dick? What's it like for you sucking a dick? You'll find out how gay they are right then and there.
Oh, my gosh. That is awesome. I love that. So there's been some really cool stuff that has shown up in Access recently in the past couple of weeks, even. Changes with the body, lots and lots and lots of changes with the body. And it's such a cool time to be having this sex and relationship class and conversation. What can you say about, like, I'm so curious what's available now with our bodies and sex and things that we've never considered?
Well, it's like the thing that is obvious to me is that once you get through this part of the stuff about the bodies and you actually, because basically what we learned is that we had our bodies pretty much on automatic pilot. And we've let another entity run our bodies as though we couldn't or didn't want to. And so because we've had sort of this automatic pilot going on, we let it determine when we die. We let it determine what's good sex. We let it determine what things should be. And in doing this particular process, what we've discovered is now sex is actually you being with your body in a different way.
Mm.
One of the things that occurred with a friend of mine is that he was having a relationship with a woman who had broken up with her husband. But her husband was trying to catch her up in lies. So he spent the entire time when he was with her feeling like crap, feeling that something was wrong, not knowing what it was. And then after they parted and he found out from her that the husband had been trying to do this, he said, oh my God, that's the energy I have felt all weekend long with this lady, that I am doing something wrong and that I need to watch out for something.
Hmm.
I said, you know, it's like you got to get that you're aware. And you got to get that you're aware. And by the way, get that you're aware.
And even more aware if you do these clearings.
Now you've done this clearing, you're even more aware. And your body. So it's like when somebody is trying to make somebody wrong and trying to do it, you will pick up that information. And if you don't acknowledge the fact that you're picking it up, and if you don't, you know, recognize that this is what this person is doing, then you're going to try to understand why you feel so bad. Mm-hmm. Anyway, my God, that's just so different. And, you know, it's like, and as a result, the relationships he's having now are way better and way easier, because he can see ahead of time what somebody's trying to create with the relationship.
Mm.
Before, he could not see it because he just liked having his dick hard and in a nice warm place.
That'll, you know, cut off some awareness.
Yeah. Just want to put that thing in a nice warm place. It might cut off a little awareness for you. You might want to get a little bit bigger in what you're willing to see and do.
Yeah. 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 Well, and these, the clearings that we've been getting to lately are just so, I know I was in the ESB class this weekend with Dane, and just a huge skyrocket of awareness. And even like with my body, it was like, I felt like for the first time ever, I was eating food. It was like, I'm actually like, my body is actually eating this food. I'm actually eating this food. Like it was not, it was such a different experience.
And you were recognizing that you liked it and it was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, wow. And it's like for me, it's like I was just always amazed. I was always amazed at how much time I had spent trying to figure out what I wanted to eat. And it's like, and my body does not like to eat after 6 o'clock at night.
Mm.
And I keep thinking I'm going to be hungry if I don't eat. So I keep trying to eat, but every time I do, I get indigestion.
Mm.
I go, okay, so what do I need to be aware of here that I'm not being aware of? Mm. And I finally realized what I have to be aware of is body doesn't need nearly the amount of food we think it does.
Yeah.
You know, and we've been taught to do three square meals a day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I did meet a guy who was an Aussie who his idea of three square meals a day was that you ate nothing but Weet-Bix.
Weet-Bix.
But Weet-Bix are some of the most brutally disgusting things on the planet. They're sort of like dried wheat germ with no flavor. And only if you add a ton of sugar are they palatable.
Hmm.
From my perspective. Now, I just probably offended a whole lot of Aussies, but I apologize if I've offended you, but you know, eating Weet-Bix was never that kind of fun for me. That's my point of view. So it's like I'm always interested in what actually could be created different, what is possible to have as difference, and what could we choose if we actually looked at what our bodies really wanted to have.
Yeah.
The big part about it is I really wanted popcorn today, and they have none here.
Oh.
And I hate it when there's no popcorn around.
Well, so as far as the sex and relationship class coming up, what can we create really with this new possibility with bodies and just so much being available to us now with all the conversations we've been having in access. It's just the timing of it is so cool. What are you aware of with the class?
Well, what I'm aware of is because of this new stuff with the bodies and how we're undoing this stuff, and we can undo it very rapidly. And in this class, we will. Mm-hmm. And enough people do it, I think the end result will be this amazing space that will be created for people to have much better idea about what's happening and when and how.
Hmm. That's cool.
And to me, that's the gift. That's the best gift you can have.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it certainly makes everything so much easier, and we can create so much more. And yeah. A couple more questions from people who sent them in advance. What if your partner wants to do more in bed and you don't? Or like one partner wants to do more and the other one doesn't?
Well, it's like, if I do this, what will my life be like in 5 years?
Mm.
So you got to ask, what's it going to be like if I choose this? Because when you look at what's going to be chosen, how you're going to choose it, and all kinds of things, you know, occur in amazing ways. So what would it be like if you were willing to go ahead and have a sex? The thing is, sex is really not a hormonally driven thing. It's a mentally driven thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and one of the ways that you can keep your sexual energy high is by admiring the body of your partner as often as possible.
Mm.
Now, if you look at their body and you think, oh my God, he's so fat and ugly, guess what? You ain't going to be having sex. You ain't going to be wanting sex.
Yeah.
You know, but if you go, gosh, look at how cute his little roly-poly belly is. Gosh, I wonder what he could do with that tongue right now. You know, and if your partner doesn't want to do cunning linguistics, then I highly recommend that you ask him for it and say, if you go down on me for half an hour, I'll go down on you for an hour.
Oh, nice.
Do a trade-off. You know, and if he goes down on you for an hour and you go down on him, he goes down on you for half an hour and you go down on him for an hour, he's going to be so excited that he's going to come in less than an hour.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's kind of a controlling system, you know, but it's good.
You're good like that.
Yes. You know, I know is that when you get into the sexual mode, you tend not to have a problem with things happening. You know, mm-hmm. And look at things in a different way.
Yeah.
Makes your life better, makes your life easier.
Yeah. Yeah. And so for people that are looking for people to have sex with or relationships with, I know it's kind of two different questions, but what would you?
Well, first thing I'd say is, you know, it's like what I did is because I would always fall in love with the demon bitch from hell, even if he's a football length away from me. I would feel her turn around and look at her and go, ooh, that one. And it's like, it finally went, okay, body, who do you want to have sex with? Yeah. And I went to a swap meet and I was walking around and I felt this tug and my body says, here. I turned around and here's the ugliest woman I've ever seen in my life. I went, oh, you want ugly people to have sex with. And then I walked on a little further and I felt another tug and I turned around and it was a little old lady in a walker. Mm. I went, oh, okay. So you want geriatrics ugly. Walked on a little further and I felt another tug and I turned around and it was a gay man. I went, okay, we're gay, geriatrics, ugly. Okay, good. Walked on a little further and I turned around and it was a 10-year-old boy. And I went, okay, gay, geriatrics, ugly, pedophile. I didn't realize it was a priest.
Oh, that's awesome.
But what I did then is I started to look, and those kind of people that appealed to me that way, those are the ones that I could then have sex with, and it was really fun. And my body liked those kind of people. It was more about what my body liked than what I liked, because I had a standard that I was looking for. And if you have a standard, kill it.
Yeah. Yep. That's judgment rather than asking your body, which it's amazing what our bodies choose when we give them freedom to choose.
Yes, I know. It's really bad. Because
it's terrible.
They tend to definitely know who it is they want to have sex with and who they want to sleep with and who they want to eat.
Yes, they do. And now that we have our bodies, it's even more amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. One more question from somebody who is asking, how do you create your own reality with relationships?
Well, you got to find out, first of all, that's that whole thing of doing, what do I want to have in a relationship and what don't I want in a relationship? Because then you get very clear about, what if you were having your reality, you would have a relationship that met these standards.
Yeah.
It's not about the standards. It's about knowing that this is what's important to you and this is what you'd really like to have.
Yeah.
And if you get what you'd really like to have in a relationship, then you can create it. But you got to get clear about what is it I really want to create here. And it's like, I had a lady who came to me recently. She says, I want to create a good relationship. I said, good. So do you really want a relationship? And she goes, well, actually, no.
Oops.
I said, so
that was somebody else.
Is you want to have somebody to have sex with. You'd like to have a boy toy. I said, if you'd like to have a boy toy, you have to be willing to rent them. It's going to cost you something one way or another.
Yeah.
So you have to look at them. What are you willing to pay to have this relationship?
Awesome.
She went, oh, my God. You're right. I have to.
Yeah.
She called me up a few days later and she says, you know what? What I had to pay was cooking the guy a dinner.
Nice. That's so, awesome. Okay,
well done. So you know what you're going to pay to get the sex that you want.
Yeah.
Not
pragmatics. Once again.
Pragmatics.
Yeah. Cool. Well, we are at the end of our show. And for anybody who's interested in this class, you can find out more about it and the prerequisites. It's on accessconsciousness.com. It's going to be September 2nd through the 5th live in Redondo Beach. And we're also going to be live streaming it all over the world. And Gary also wrote an awesome book on this topic, too, that you can find on the website. So thank you so much, Gary, for being here. I'm so grateful for you and looking forward to more.
For you. Take care. Okay. Bye. Bye.
Thank you for joining us today for Creating Beyond Reality. Make sure to join Heather Nichols again next Monday at noon Pacific and 9 p.m. Central European Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel for another adventure into the brilliance of you. Have an amazing week of possibility and creation.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.